Well, today, our scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 to 13. And this is Paul speaking to the new church community in Rome. I'm just checking the sound. Can you all hear me in the back okay? Okay. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. This whole passage from Paul to the church in Rome has a lot to do about being hospitable. Hospitality, it is a key skill for surviving very well in life. When we practice hospitality, we are practicing a survival skill that began way back in the ancient days. Last Friday night, for example, we had a hospitality time in the narthex out here right after the Friday Vespers service. People gathered and we talked and drank tea and coffee and ate cookies right out there. And we bonded together, those who hung around after the service. And I learned that one of the newcomers that came to the service grew up in Minnesota, and her family were original homesteaders in Iowa. They had a farm in Iowa, not too far from where I went to school in Iowa. It's amazing how you find these interconnections. You know, they say we're only separated by 6 degrees from one another. But actually, I find it's a lot closer than that, it seems, when you find out you know someone that they know, a perfect stranger, and yet we knew these people in common. Without the hospitality provided last Friday night, I would not have had a chance to meet Darla and discover that we had something in common. Building networks with one another builds up the person and builds up the community. Now, there are different kinds of hospitality, though, and various ways to learn how to be hospitable. I have learned a lot about hospitality from watching my dogs. And I don't know if we have a picture of the two dogs to put up. Did we get that? I have one of Casey and Taylor that I was hoping that I could show you. When a new friend comes into our house, my dogs assume that person came just to see them. And so they immediately give the new visitor lots of attention. Dogs are just natural friend makers. And scientific research now shows that dogs play a constructive role in building social relationships for people. They do it on our behalf. In a study of 2,700 people, they found that dog owners were 5 times more likely to get to know people in their community than other pet owners. And it really makes sense, because the mechanism is, when you walk your dog in your neighborhood, that is how you meet people. So it sort of makes sense. I'm not sure they really needed to put a lot of research into this, but they did. And so I found this short poem on the internet that really tells us a general truth, I think, in many ways about how we can learn from dogs. It's called, "All I Need to Know About Life, I Learned from My Dogs." When loved ones come home, always run to greet them. Run, romp, and play daily. Be loyal. Never pretend to be something you're not. Eat with gusto and enthusiasm. When someone is having a bad day, be silent, sit close by, and nuzzle them gently. Thrive on affection and enjoy back rubs and pats. When you leave your yard, make it an adventure. Avoid biting when a simple growl will do. No matter how often you're scolded, don't pout. Run right back and make friends again. Bond with your pack. When you're excited, speak up. When you're happy, dance around and wag your entire body. Delight in the simple joy of a long walk. Don't go out without ID. Leave room in your schedule for a good nap. Always give people a friendly greeting. And if it's not wet and sloppy, it's not a real kiss. Hospitality, forging bonds, making connections with others in life is life enhancing for all involved. Now, hospitals are so named because they were thought from the very beginning as places of hospitality, where you can find shelter, protection, and healing. Many hospitals were founded by churches out of their hospitality for meeting the needs of the community that they were in. Now, the church that I previously served as pastor in New Jersey was temporarily converted into a hospital during the Revolutionary War to take care of all the people suffering from smallpox. At that time, there was no known cure. The Revolutionary War website says, during the 1777 Morristown winter encampment, while General Washington was headquartered there, the Presbyterian Church was used as a hospital for soldiers suffering from smallpox. Many of the soldiers who died of smallpox are buried in the church cemetery. And so I did find a video on the History Channel. Did we get it, Eddie? And it tells you, it reenacts what happened back then. You can turn down the lights and see it.
February 1777. The Continental Army settles into winter encampments at Morristown, New Jersey. Hard-won victories at Trenton and Princeton have turned the tide of war in their favor. But General Washington now faces an enemy more dangerous than any British soldier.
In that day and age, it was normal that armies lost more men to disease than they did to battle. And the worst of the worst was smallpox.
Now, when the Revolutionary War begins, this is an extremely unsettling event. You have American soldiers being called from all the 13 colonies. So all of a sudden, you have these people who have lived either in tiny cities or in farms, and they're all together in camps by the thousands. So the infection rates from smallpox suddenly start spiking.
Inoculation is risky. Live smallpox virus is rubbed into an open wound. Washington knows a small percentage of his men will die from the procedure. But without it, he could lose most of them.
And he has to keep it secret from the British. Because the British learn that one-third of the American army is not effective because they're recovering from their inoculations. They might try a winter attack. So this all has to be done on the sly, all has to be done quietly. It's a huge feat of organization. And the result of it is that the Continental forces under Washington are safe from this terrible disease.
So the way the Presbyterian Church back then stepped up and provided hospitality by becoming a hospital when there was such a great need is exactly what Christ taught us to be. Christine Pohl is the professor of social ethics at Asbury Theological Seminary in Kentucky, and she wrote an article called Building a Place for Hospitality to Help Churches Revitalize. And I was amazed how building a manger kind of worked really well with that theme of building a place for hospitality. In the article, she describes the ancient history of hospitality, and she says, hospitality involves sharing food, shelter, protection, recognition, and conversation. Before there were inns, hotels, and restaurants, every stranger needed someone's hospitality to survive. Whether they had resources or not, when people were away from home, they were dependent on the kindness and generosity of others for their survival. Because of this, hospitality was a central virtue in most developing cultures and a pillar of morality on which society was built. Hospitality was understood as a form of mutual aid. Caring for the needs of strangers was a normal practice that often resulted in mutual blessings. And our Bible reflects this in many places, starting way back with Abraham and Sarah and moving on into the New Testament. And especially in Hebrews 13:2, it reads, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." Much of Jesus' life was tied to giving and receiving hospitality. He came into this world as a stranger, vulnerable to welcome and rejection. The story of Christ's birth is a story of denied hospitality and generous hospitality. Mary and Joseph were denied hospitality when the innkeeper said there was no room for them in the inn. Those who have been rejected in their own lives can learn from this story of the birth of Jesus that God empathizes with those who are outcasts from receiving hospitality today. At the birth of Christ, there was no hospitality for the humans, at least around in the manger. But I think we always show that the animals were very interested and very hospitable to the baby Jesus. Yet Mary and Joseph showed hospitality by receiving visitors. The shepherds and the three kings are allowed into their humble abode to see the baby Jesus. God's abundant, generous hospitality is extended to both poor and wealthy strangers in the story by allowing them in to meet Jesus. And then as he grew, Jesus was a guest at many meals and dinner parties and instructed his disciples often to show hospitality to others as if it was being done to himself. And even after his resurrection, you'll remember, he hosted his disciples for for a fish breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee when he found them out fishing. Dr. Pohl's analysis of the history of hospitality found that after the Reformation, concerns about showing hospitality by respecting and protecting strangers was recast into concerns about human rights in general. Protestant churches were enthusiastic advocates for human rights from the very beginning of their formation. So that is why we are called to always be advocating for human rights and social justice. Dr. Pohl concludes her article by asking, what can we learn from the history of hospitality that suggests how we welcome the stranger today? She says the character of the people offering the welcome is crucial if the hospitality is to be life-giving to both. In other words, it can't be insincere. The hospitality must be real, coming from your heart. So Pohl suggests having a combination of discernment, wisdom, flexibility, humility, and generosity. And she reminds that there is blessing and mutuality in hospitality. Both the recipients and the hosts benefit when gifts are generously shared. And this is what she has found to be a key in revitalizing churches who maybe have lost this sense of generous hospitality. Valuing the stranger and providing them a place in the church community is so important. Programs that open and develop into relationships are life-giving to all. And making a place for the neighbor, the international student, alienated teens, and refugee families are good places to start, she says. And so when you think of it, we are accomplishing some of this here at the Church of the Roses already. You know, working with our alienated teens at the breakfast program, having a wonderful international student here from the Ivory Coast. But I wonder if we could do more to build on the relational aspect of what we do. That's what she really emphasized more than ever, is really developing these relationships that are life-giving to both. How can we share ourselves more than just our food and money? I wonder where this church might need to step up and help our community with the crisis of homelessness in Santa Rosa as well. How can we get to know our breakfast teens better? Salvador, who was here and who spoke from the Gang Violence Prevention Program, suggested that that's what we need to work on, is finding a way to develop closer relationships with the teens who come to eat breakfast. He said that will make an even bigger impact on their lives. When the people in a church family are determined to be hospitable, nothing is impossible because God makes it possible. And so the prophet Isaiah reminds us and has been instructing us ever since days of old. In Isaiah 58, he said, "Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless." Amen.